It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Shale gas from our region is making its way to Scotland.
It comes here, it is then taken off the ships and put into large storage tanks. The storage tanks are then used to supply the rest of the plant.
But fracking is a controversial topic there, largely because of reports of pollution that have also found their way to Scotland and the UK. We'll hear more about it in just a bit on this West Virginia morning. For more than 180 years, American eel have not been able to swim past dam number 5 in Falling Waters, Berkeley County. But that's about to change. As Liz McCormick reports, officials are finishing a new eel way that could potentially help thousands of eels a year migrate further upstream in the Potomac River.
At the end of Vineyard Road in Falling Waters, West Virginia, you'll find an old stone and brick structure on the Potomac River. This small historic building is a hydroelectric power plant owned by Cube Hydro based in Maryland. Beside the structure is Dam Number 5. The dam, owned by the National Park Service, stretches the width of the river from the West Virginia side to the Maryland side. It's 20 feet tall all the way across and was originally built in the 1830s. While the dam provides electricity, it has also had an unintended consequence.
Almost 85% of the American eel upstream habitat has been lost due to dams. So there's basically been a coastwide decline in American eel populations.
That's David Sutherland. He's a coastal program biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. This decline in American eel is why Sutherland and other officials started an initiative 15 years ago called the American Eel Restoration Project. The project works to install things called eelways, like byways, but for eels. Here at Dam Number 5, an eelway is almost operational. This one is a 65-foot-long aluminum ramp that's been secured to the side of the power plant. The ramp will have water running through it, and eels will be able to climb it. Once they reach the top, they'll slide down into a 250-gallon water tank.
We'll either be able to monitor them, they'll be captured in a mesh bag, or they'll, if the mesh bag isn't in there, they'll be able to migrate right through the tank and upstream through a pipe and then back to the river.
Sutherland says the eels are unharmed when caught, and they're always released. The American eel lives most of its life in fresh water, and then migrates back into salt water to lay their eggs. By the time the eels reach Dam Number 5 in Falling Waters, they've journeyed for 4 to 7 years from the Sargasso Sea, which is located in the Atlantic Ocean. In the Potomac River, they grow and mature. Sutherland says the further upstream eel can travel, the safer they are.
Historically, 25 to 50% of the biomass in these headwater streams upstream of Dam 5 here used to be American eels. I mean, that's where these primarily female eels, they metamorphose by the time they get up this far. They're all females, and they're maturing, becoming silver eels, and they're ready to be out migrating with upwards of 9 million eggs.
But without access to these headwater streams, these eels have been more susceptible to predators like flathead catfish, walleye, or blue catfish. That's why an eelway is important for their survival, especially if a historic dam like Dam Number 5 is unlikely to be removed. The American eel does more for our water than we might realize. American eel help to transport larvae of the freshwater mussel, which help to clean water. A single mussel can filter up to 30 gallons of water every day, Sutherland says. But baby mussels can't travel far without hitching a ride on a fish's gills. And the American eel offers an appealing one.
American eels are critical for the ecosystem services they provide, especially with their relationship to freshwater mussels.
That's Tanner Haid. He's the Eastern Panhandle Field Coordinator for the West Virginia Rivers Coalition. Haid points out that West Virginia is a headwater state, meaning the water here flows out to lots and lots of other people and states around us. He says it's for this reason that opening more travel ways for American eel, and by extension, freshwater mussels, is vital to keeping our water clean.
No matter where you are in our state, our water is connected to tens and tens of millions of people. So we have to acknowledge that role and do everything we can to protect that water at the source, and do these sort of habitat restoration projects to protect critical species.
Once complete, the eelway at Dam Number 5 is expected to have cost about $150,000. That covers designing, construction, and installation. Sutherland says it will be the first year-round eelway in West Virginia. 5,000 to 10,000 eels are expected to migrate through it a year. And Sutherland says Dam No. 5's eelway will effectively open about 8,000 more river miles to the American eel. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Falling Waters.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Increasing clouds today with high temperatures in the 50s and 60s. A chance of rain tonight with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, rain and gusty wind with highs in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and breezy with lows in the 30s. On Thursday, partly cloudy with gusty wind, highs in the 40s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Yeager Airport, CRW, West Virginia's gateway to the world. More at JaegerAirport.com. Ethane from the region's Marcellus Shale is now getting exported to other countries. One of the first to import this gas was Scotland. Fracking is illegal there, but using fracked natural gas is not. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier went to Scotland, where he found American shale gas is playing a role in the UK's own debate over fracking.
On a quiet street in central Scotland, Kevin Ross surveys a sprawling industrial plant.
You can see some of the flares down there operating, some of the silo towers across there, and some of the many cooling towers that are actually on site.
Ross is president of the Scottish Plastics and Rubber Association and runs a local plastics testing company. He's taken me to look at Grangemouth. This is Scotland's biggest petrochemical plant and refinery. It's built on the Firth of Forth, a wide river estuary that empties into the North Sea. And it's here where ships bearing American shale gas are brought into port.
It comes here, it is then taken off the ships and put into large storage tanks. The storage tanks are then used to supply the rest of the plant.
The plant is owned by INEOS, a European chemical company. The plant makes plastic and chemicals out of ethane, a common byproduct of oil and gas drilling. But its source for that gas, offshore wells in the North Sea, have started to run dry. So in 2016, it started shipping ethane from the U.S. Most of this gas originates in western Pennsylvania and crosses the state through the Mariner East, a pipeline whose environmental problems and use of eminent domain have drawn controversy. The gas is then exported through the Marcus Hook port facility near Philadelphia. With this new supply of shale gas, the Grangemouth plant has returned to full production. Ross says that's good not just for the 1,300 who work there, but for other businesses as well, including his own. Ross takes me to his company's lab, a few blocks from the plant.
These are climate chambers. They'll cycle from minus 40 to plus 100.
This place is a sort of torture chamber for plastic objects. Ross's company, Impact Solutions, tests the effects of heat, weight, and pressure on everything from artificial office plants to construction materials. He shows me what looks like a glossy plastic pipe.
Almost certainly, because of what it's made of, it's either nuclear, pharmaceutical, or military. Almost certainly, because it is so expensive.
So it's a pipe?
It is a pipe on steroids. It's a very high-performance pipe.
But it's not just companies that work with plastic that depend on the Grangemouth plant. There are other businesses, too.
Just some milk, please.
At the Rumbling Tum food cart, Lindsay Breen cleans up after a day selling sandwiches and hot drinks. Breen said if Grangemouth were to ever slow down, so would her business.
The refinery, we get most of our customers for the refinery, and we have done for the past 25 years. So if the refinery was to close down, then it would make a big impact on our business because we depend on the workers from there to come here and be fed.
The refinery almost did close down a few years ago over a labor dispute, but INEOS won concessions from the union representing workers there and got hundreds of millions of dollars in government loan guarantees for retrofits that allowed the plant to import American shale gas. INEOS officials did not agree to an interview for this story, but in a company video, CEO Jim Ratcliffe says importing cheap American shale gas was just simple math.
You know, shale gas, you know, some of the gases that come out of shale gas are the sort of fundamental feedstocks for the world of chemicals. And those feedstocks now in America are a quarter of the price they are in Europe.
But the company still wants its own supply of cheap local gas and is pushing for fracking in the UK. Zoe Shipton, a geologist at Strathclyde University in Glasgow, was part of a team of researchers that studied the idea of fracking in Britain.
The sort of headline news is that there is potentially quite a lot of gas underneath the UK.
But just how much gas is unknown and can't be known unless there's more drilling. But that idea has been met with fierce opposition. Norman Phillip is with Friends of the Earth Scotland. He grew up in Grangemouth, where his father worked at the plant when it was owned by BP.
It was a boom town. Like, so people were moving in because there was work. There were social clubs. There was a buzz about the town. We were fueling the nation.
When INEOS tried to bring fracking to Scotland, Phillip and others opposed it over issues like earthquakes and climate change. The production of plastics makes up nearly 4% of all global CO2 emissions. He's also heard stories about fracking from people in the US and Australia.
People were telling us of gas leaks. They were telling us of children having headaches. And there was a toxic element of it.
As the pursuit of shale gas spread across the Atlantic, so too did arguments both for and against that are by now familiar in Pennsylvania. In the UK, the pushback to fracking led to a different result, though. In 2015, Scotland put in place a moratorium on fracking, and this month, the UK government in Westminster did the same. But INEOS still has licenses to frack in Scotland if the government were to ever change its mind. While fracking is illegal in Britain, it's still legal to import shale gas produced by fracking in the US. This bothers Norman Phillip.
Why should a community in America have to suffer what we've fought hard against? Oh, our slogans were no fracking here, no fracking anywhere.
Others are glad the INEOS plant is still running, even if they wouldn't want fracking nearby. Kenny Mullen is from the nearby town of Falkirk. Watching his son ride a bike at a park a few blocks from the Grangemouth plant, he says that when INEOS threatened to shut it down a few years ago, there was panic over the potential economic effects.
There was certainly, it was tangible, you could tell. People were worried for their jobs and stuff like that.
Mullen says he's glad there's no fracking in Scotland, even though he's aware of the contradiction in his views.
I think most people are anti-fracking, myself included. We're happy to take the gas which has been obtained in that method from America, so it sounds really cutthroat just because they're making money out of it, you know?
If there were a way to get by without fossil fuels, he says, he'd be all for it. But for now, the gas arriving from the U.S. is keeping the plant and his town afloat. For State Impact Pennsylvania, I'm Reed Fraser in Grangemouth, Scotland.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.